that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome. Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It's a snowy morning here at the Radio Ranch. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And, John's down in Colorado. Don't have quite as, I don't think, got quite the snow there yet anyway. They're in Loveland, Fort Collins, but we are sure getting it here, and I guess Denver's starting to get it. But anyway, we do welcome you here to Coffee with the Wranglers. We got our coffee, got our Bibles, and we're broadcasting out, and that's what Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers is. Pastor started it years ago. And you know, back then, we'd broadcast out about 5 a.m. here, local time, John. And sometimes we'd pre-record it. we'd set that up, and Jason would come up to the ranch maybe on Wednesday or something, or Thursday, and we'd record it and play it. And then Pastor said, "Nah, let's do that live." So we'd be here at 5 in the morning doing it. And I sure like it better at 7 than at 5. I have to tell you that for sure. But praise the Lord, we're here, and we'd asked Tim to join us this morning. Wasn't sure if he.
Sounds like, yeah. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm fine. Glad to be here.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well,
had a little technical difficulty.
Oh yeah, we're just right. Broadcasting out again this April 16th, the day after Tax Day. And maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. But let's open up with prayer first. Tim, would you do us the honors, open us up in prayer this morning?
I sure would. I'd be delighted. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity, Lord, to come into your presence. Lord, we know that you're with us every day. And, Lord, we thank you for having that option, that opportunity, Lord, to be present with you every day. Lord, I pray for your people. As they go about, we see these these times are, they're a trying, Lord, but we see the victories that you grant us to, and Lord, we thank you for those. They're all about us, and Lord, we know that your timing is your timing, and that ours isn't, but Lord, we just pray that you would grant us faith and patience and the ability to see these things, Lord. Open your people's eyes, and Lord, we just pray that you continue on the move and that you would continue to strengthen the resolve and the opportunity of your people. And Lord, we see you filling the cup of the unrighteous as you prepare them for their inevitable justice. And Lord, I just thank you for it. And I just pray that you, when you pour that out, Lord, that that would be poured out in full measure against them. They would be utterly and completely judged according to your perfect will and way. Lord, we pray you'd continue to bless your people and protect them and guide them in each and everything that they do each day. That you would guard our words this morning, Lord, that you would make them edifying and that you would make them uplifting. That you would help those who need what's coming to be said, and that it would just be a light to them. We thank you, O Lord, for this opportunity and this availability of all the things that you grant us each day. And Lord, we pray you continue to bless and keep us. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And plenty going on out there. John, didn't know if you had something you might have wanted to lead off with this morning.
Nothing too critical. I'll let you guys start.
All right. You're still working on your coffee, I would bet, this morning. Well, we will tell you about our Bible reading plan for the 16th. We have you're reading in 1 Samuel, finishing up 1 Samuel this morning, if that's where you're reading. And you know, it's really been a, I'd have to say, this last month of reading through you know, this part of the Old Testament, Joshua and Judges and Ruth, and then into 1 Samuel, just the last, say, 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, we've read the Bible stories time and time again, you know, of Ruth, of in Samuel, of the prophet Eli that Samuel came and studied under, and then back in Judges, the reading through of you know, just the of Gideon, of Samson, of those types of stories. And they're all just kind of concentrated right there. And it's been an encouragement to me, just kind of a refreshing and a, well, I don't even know how to explain it, but just it's been a good time of going back and reading through those and seeing, oh yeah, this is the order they're in. This is where they are. And you know, Jim's team seemed to kind of step out at times. You know, when you do that very thing, when you read through it, you see when, you know, Saul came up in 1 Samuel, and then of course his disobedience, and then we have a young man named David come on the scene, and so it's important that we read our Bible, and that's the point we've been trying to get out to the people as a reminder, because it helps establish, it helps firm up the foundation as a Christian that we need to have, and the more we read it, the more we see that the Bible is certainly true, where it says that God does not change. He doesn't. He is the same then as he was now. His message then was repent and return to me. That's what he gave to all the prophets, and that's what he told the judges, and that's what they told the people, was repent, turn from your evil ways. Don't be like all the other people in the world. Repent, return, and follow God. And that's still the message today. It still is. And then, of course, in your Bible reading plan, you're reading through Luke as well this month. And of course, the gospel story is should be an encouragement to all. And so we do encourage you to do that, to read your Bible. We have the Bible reading plan up on the website at scripturesforamerica.org. And the monthly calendar is there. Every month calendar is up there. And we encourage you to go there. You can download it. You can print it. If you don't have that, if you're just a shortwave listener, if you get in touch with us, we'll print you some out and mail it to you. We don't have a problem doing that. We'd be glad to do it. It's what we do here, to try to encourage you to read the Word. I don't think any of us do that enough.
No, and it's just, you know, the more you read it, the more you can apply the things that you find to everyday life. There's multiple times every day where you go back through it and go, that's happened before, or that's going on, or you can start to see some correlations there and go back and have a look at that and go and I get called a, because I'm always running back and I'm looking it up, refreshing it in my mind. It's like, how did that, how did that go exactly? Just once you start doing that, if you'll encourage it a little bit, it really helps to do that. It's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
And a confirmation of the fact that, throughout the Bible, it seems to be a recurring fact that when you read it, and I think you can see that God's people tend to stray. I mean, we see that. We talk about it all the time. They stray. But God never does. He always draws them back to him. He always goes out and gets them. He always, sometimes with great kindness, he says, with gentle kindness, I've gathered you. But sometimes it's harshly, but he just continues to do that. I mean, clear to the point of death and back again. I hear sometimes, Christianity doesn't really make any sense. I mean, there's a lot of conflicts in there. And I'm always quick to point out that, and I can remember as a very young person having some questions on that in my own mind. I'd be lying if I didn't say, well, how does this work and how does that work? But the faith part of it comes from the point of, okay, Lord, just because I don't understand how it all works doesn't mean that's the case. And that's faith. It's like, and as you become more seasoned and as you become more salty, you begin to, there is no conflict there. I understand now.
Right.
I understand the deeper meaning. So, that's a patience item. I mean, it's not always all clear there, but do you have the faith for the patience to work, or the patience for the faith to work? And that's a growth element in your Christian walk with your Lord and with your fellow believers. So it's growth, and it never stops. So praise the Lord for that.
Amen. And
continuing to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, that's what we are to do. And anyone, anyone, and our pastor taught that, anyone that says, well, I got it figured out, well, good. Well, then in that area, maybe you move from kindergarten to first grade, when you have
exactly
a certain thing figured out. But, if we had it all figured out, we would be God, and we're not. We are the creation. And so, we read, we see things, we do our best to grow in His grace and knowledge. For the first 20 plus years of Pastor Peter's ministry of Scriptures for America, you can go back, and even if you just look through the titles in the catalog, in the CD catalog, you can see a theme. And, I mean, there's many themes, but a big part of the theme was truth. The truth from the Scripture. The truth that Tim, like you said, explained the questions that most people have in the Bible. Why this? Well, God seems to be this way here and different over here. No, it's the same. It's just our thinking and the way we understand things are different. But the theme the pastor
it's you,
had...
not him.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just said it's you, not him. I was agreeing with
yeah.
you. Continue.
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing...
It's our understanding that's lacking. And you see, for the first 20-plus years of our pastor's ministry, that was the recurring theme. That was the foundation, was truth, the truth that's found in the Scriptures. And that's because the Bible says we have to worship Him in truth. We cannot worship Him in a lie, whether we're trying to lie to Him or lying to ourselves, whether we mean to or not, whether it's purposeful or not. We have to worship Him in truth. Jesus Christ said that He is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so it has to be that way. And Pastor did. He spent, you know, the foundational years of his ministry establishing that, the truth of who God is and who his people are, who his people were then and who they weren't, and who they are today and who they aren't. And that truth has been established. And, it, you know, in many truths he did establish, the truth of the need for water baptism. Have you seen, I'll break here for a second, have you seen, there's a movie out on DVD now, and it's set back in the 70s in Alabama. It's called Woodlawn. Have you seen that, John? Didn't know if you've rented that DVD maybe or seen it.
Yeah, I saw it.
And Tim, I don't know if you had or not, but I have not.
We rented it
and watched it last night. And you know, when you watch a movie, and it's, I think it's from the Christian Brothers that did like Facing the Giants and those type movies, Courageous and those type. And, you know, when your 18-year-old son says, you know, I really was expecting to find a bunch of Judeo-Christian crap in this movie, and I'm pleasantly surprised I didn't. You know, like when the coach gets converted and he said, you know, I believe, and I want to be baptized.
And he gets baptized.
And then they baptize him by full immersion. Hey, wow. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, those truths, it's great to see when you see so much in the Hollywood genre and in the movie genre, there's so much falsehoods out there, but it's sure a blessing when you do get to see the truth like that. And our pastor taught on that yeah, there's a need for that. Is it empty works? No. It's obedient faith. It's putting your faith into action, and he taught on that, and we still do. We still believe that truth. And when you believe that truth, and you obey that truth, well, then you receive, as the Bible says, the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's right there in Acts 2:38. It's not something I can give you. It's not something I can teach you how to have. But it is what the Bible says. And we still stand on that truth. And it's a great thing. It is. Because then when you go back and read through, well, then when you read of the children of Israel passing through the sea, and you read up in the New Testament that, yeah, see, they were baptized there, and you just see these things pop out. Well, it does, like you said, Tim, it explains the Bible. It answers the questions that we have. Why this? Why that? And you know, it just one of the great things that really drew me to the pastor was that he explained this Bible. He explained it. No, it wasn't some twisted understanding. It was logical. It made sense. When you understand the basis that God doesn't change, that as John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus Christ is the Word, and He is God, and He was with God way back in Genesis 1:1 in the beginning, and He hasn't changed. You know, when we understand that He demanded obedience in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, he tells us, I'm ready to punish all the disobedience in the land. When? When you believe, as the Judeos say? No. When your obedience is complete. Tell me that's not what he commands all through the Old Testament. And our pastor explained that and tied it together to where, you know, it is truth. And when we start to understand that truth, well, then we can truly worship Him in truth.
Well, it's like last week in live church service, the fourth part of the Greatest Love Story Never Told. And the way that he put Acts 2:38, you know, I had an opportunity this week. I don't know if you remember, but last week I told you, or 2 weeks ago, we were still going through Romans, and as we got into Romans chapter 11, it starts talking about Baal and the remnant, and 90% of these guys didn't understand what Baal was or the remnant. And I said, okay, hold on, we're going to have to stop this Bible study. If you don't understand that, we got a real problem. And then I was led to tell him too. I said, you know what? There's only two reasons that you don't know what Baal is, and there's only two reasons that you don't know what a remnant is. One, you're not reading your Bible. Two, the pastor that you sit under hasn't taught you the truth. You know, and they couldn't really deny that. But I said, read Acts 2:38, you know. This week I did a lesson on the remnant and brought all this different scriptures about the remnant all the way from the beginning in Genesis on through. And they never understood that God himself said there would only be a remnant that make it. You know, it's not just Jesus loves me, everybody's going to go to heaven. So that was a shock for him, obviously. But I said, do you realize Acts 2:38? The context of what Peter was saying, and I told him, I said, that was when the Judeans, not the Jews, but the Judeans realized that they had crucified the Son of God.
Yeah.
What is it that we should do? Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and Amen. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And your name will be entered into the Lamb's Book of Life, and you'll be clothed with Christ, and you'll go into the watery grave of baptism. You know, and I explained all that to them, and over the years, a couple of them have got it, a couple of them I've baptized. But, you know, the seeds are planted. They've been planted for years, and there's a lot of truth to the fact that many, many are called, but few are chosen. And there's only so many that have eyes to see and ears to hear, and the thing about our pastor was, over and over in the Bible you read about, count it all joy to be persecuted, for I was persecuted before you, you know. And the world's supposed to hate us. If they don't hate us, we're not doing enough.
Yeah.
And when you start showing these guys these scriptures, they're like, wow, really? And I'm like, yeah, if your church isn't being persecuted, you ain't doing enough. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, and every one of them is fun, exciting to be able to share these things that, you know, we think are just basic truths with these men that they haven't even had the milk, much less the meat. So you got to give them the milk before you can give them the meat.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, and speaking about all that, I think we sent an email, but as far as that arch, had you? You know, that was another thing, canceling of the Baal arch. That's an answer to prayer, and I thought it was an amazing thing as far as regards the whole prayer issue there. You know, I mean, what an answer to prayer, you know. And
yes.
I liked what you said, John. He's not done with us yet.
He's not.
Yeah.
No, he's never done with us. Yeah.
He's patient, not wanting any to come to destruction, but all to come to repentance. Now, that's not all. That's not the ones that are of their father, the devil, the ones that come only to steal, kill, and destroy, the ones that don't have the laws of God written on their heart. That's those that have the laws of God written on their heart, that have had their heart hardened by the world, that there's a crust that needs to be removed, and the scales from their eyes and their ears unstopped. Those are the ones that God is calling and wants to come to repent.
Amen. Well, and the other thing that came to my mind is there we, you know, God's people went and asked him to take care of that. And the verse that came to my mind was, well, you know, if they ask for, if your son asks for bread, you don't give him a snake, you know. And I mean, there was the same thing. I mean, Lord, we don't want this here. And the carnal mind would tend to think on something, well, it's done. You know, I mean, you're talking Times Square. You're talking New York City. I mean, if there's a center that's more corrupt or more, you know, you got Wall Street, you got the World Trade Center, you got the UN there, you've got all these things.
Capital of Babylon.
Yeah, they're going to put that in there. And, you know, God's people pray and ask about it, and it's done. Yep, we canceled it, you know. So,
I mean,
praise the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. You look into that story, though. I mean, I was reading, Jesse from local church sent me a link to an article that explained that it was the UN that was behind it, and they had plans mm-hmm. for up to 1,000 of them all across the country in all the major cities. And, you know, for that, just like you say, for that to be squashed like that, that's nothing but the hand of God. That's an answer to the prayers, not only the prayers right now against it, but the prayers that we've been praying for grace and mercy in your wrath, Lord, for your people. Find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. All of these prayers, you know, expose the things that are hidden. You know, the thing that we as Christians, a Bible verse that I think is really critical to memorize along with, you know, so many other ones, but Luke 10:19, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. I mean, if we could just stand on that one scripture alone as we battle the forces of hell that are coming against us, the spells and the witchcraft and the satanic assignments and all these things that God says will come against us, we would have the victory every time.
Amen.
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 Well, and I think that, you know, the other day, I was just thinking about all the things that are going on and all the, I guess if you want to call it a negative aspect of what we're about. You know, you feel a little inundated sometimes. It's like, wow, Lord, you know, you got this over here and that over there and all these things going on, and you like, I'm standing, but it's a lot. And he says, he talks about filling that cup in Revelations, you know, 18:6, if you read in there, you know, paying her back, she paid others, pay her back double, and pour double what she poured into that cup. And Christians, it came to my mind that our cup is empty, I mean, as far as that goes, because that was what Christ told his disciples over there in Matthew. He said, I drink this cup and you can't drink of it, you know, and our cup, he took care of that. And he drank it all, but her cup, he's not drinking her cup. You know, that evil situation, and it's full and overflowing, and he's gonna pay her back for it. So, you know, it was like, wow. And then you mix that with the cup of communion. That's the cup of Christ, and it's small and special. You know, and you see all those things, and there's a lot of... I was doing a little word study on cup, and it was an interesting thing in there how often that is. You have the cup of the covenant of Christ's blood, and you have to remember to drink the cup and proclaim the death of the Lord and his resurrection and his protection, you know. There's clean cups, and there are dirty cups, and... I was like, wow, Lord, this is really interesting stuff here. So, and we, you know, evidently there's a lot of symbolism in those sort of things that we have to look into and understand as we see the cup of God's wrath, you know. So
yeah, if you notice too, Tim, in Revelation it says it's basically not diluted. It's full strength.
Yeah.
You will drink
yeah.
the cup of your wrath in full strength. I mean, it depends on the translation you're reading, but that's a significant point, I think, that some people
miss
sometimes is there's no grace and mercy in that cup.
No.
No, absolutely not. The good point, though, it is, it's true. It's not a little wine and water or whatever. It's wrath, and it's actually double-strength wrath, according to Revelations 18. And like you said, it's full strength. It's his a cup double what she poured, you know, double and overflowing.
Right.
So that's concentrated wrath. So that's coming. We've had so many. Have you guys been seeing anything on these earthquakes? I mean,
yeah, I saw that hit in Japan again.
Yeah, caught another one
yesterday.
Yeah, two earthquakes.
Okay. Another one
in the last week. Yeah, another one. I think was what yesterday.
I can't even keep track of them. They're coming in, and they're all like in the sevens, and a whole bunch of them. I was looking at the USGS site. They're not even showing them on that. They have a worldwide site that shows there's multiples on there that haven't even showed up on there, but they're catastrophic enough over there that, you know, they're making the world news. So I don't know why, I don't understand why it's important to keep form to keep a lid on that, really, but you know, we have those
two words, birth pangs.
Yeah,
exactly.
It is.
Yeah,
closer and closer.
It is.
But I don't know if you saw too that I was listening to economic status, basically what's going on in the world, and they said that Japan has basically declared a failed state.
Oh yeah,
that I mean they're declaring pretty much that they're bankrupt and they run out of rabbits.
They can't pull any more of those out of their hat.
No.
Well, and the other thing is that interests me is we've watched this Baltic Dry Index. I know that Richard's talked about it, and Jason and I have talked about it some. And the confirmation of that is we're watching our own rail system, which is kind of the equivalent in the United States of the Baltic Dry Index. When I said something to someone, my wife and I were talking, and she said, well, yeah, if the rail system's having to lay people off, she said, I don't know if there's anything any more government-funded besides the public school system and the government than the rail system. And they've laid off about 6,000 people in the last month.
Wow.
That I'm aware of. Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to Melcher today that, yeah, there was big changes happening in the rail system, too.
Yeah. They're parking engines. They're, you know, all these sort of things. Because why? There's no freight, you know,
right.
Whether it's coal or whatever. And I think that always, every time I see that, I actually get a bit of a light out of the fact that it goes back to biblical prophecy. Because in Revelation, he talks about how the merchants of Babylon are going to wring their hands and be all, oh, they don't want our junk anymore, you know.
Yep.
And we see that happening. I mean, right before our eyes. So, I know Korea, I think that company's called Hanjin, and they're one of the largest. They're actually doing negative freight right now to try to stimulate getting it. They're paying to take their freight from over there and bring it to another country because their ships are just sitting there and they don't want their crews to all go away. I mean, when you see that kind of stuff, you know, well, that can't go on very long. I mean,
no.
You pay somebody to put stuff on your freight line and ship it.
Yeah, and don't you find it interesting?
The merchants are being exposed.
Yeah, and in Revelation, it talks about the ships.
Yep.
You know, it talks about the ships that they used, that they, you know, that the merchants that you talked about there, Tim, and that they, the equivalent of they sail no more, you know, they have gone all over the world. It alludes, Revelations, in that part, it alludes to this worldwide economy that we have anymore. You know, this globalism that it seems like so many companies and so many people have bought into. It's all coming down. It's all coming down. The people don't seem to realize that, you know, when the Bible talks about. They'll talk about, oh, Jesus is coming back, but they won't talk about how. You know, he's already come once, and most of your Christians will at least agree with that. You know, born of a virgin, a babe in a manger, came to save the world from its sins. And they'll agree with you on that. But then, you know, they think he's coming back the same way. You know, just peace, nope. Peace, yeah. love, to reunite all, to unite all in the brotherhood of man and all that. And that ain't what the Word says. When he comes back this time, this next time, it's to rule with his rod of iron. And it talks about the breath of his mouth coming out and slaying those. That's his word right here. That means this word that we have, this Bible, will be the law of the land. Every jot and tittle of it, every bit of it, will be the law of the land. And those that, as he alluded to in the Gospels, you know, in a parable, when he said, those that will not rule and reign over, not have me rule and reign over them, bring them here and slay them at my feet. Guess what? That's what it's going to be like. And these merchants, as it talks about in Revelation, that have gotten drunk with the wine of Babylon, you know, they don't want his system now, and they won't have his system then, because they won't be. It's as simple as that. Well, guys, the phone's ringing. Let's go to the phone lines this morning. How about that? Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning, Joe. How are you today?
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Oh, pretty good, man. Morning, the sun is shining. Birds are showing up. Things are happening. It's we're having a spate of good weather here.
Well, good.
So I understand through the prayer chain that you guys are due for some heavy snow.
Well, I can read you. Denver Airport canceled about 700 flights. We had some family members traveling, and I had a daughter-in-law flew out yesterday, and John had some family made it in. But it says National Weather Service says the Northern Front Range mountains could get 2 to 4 feet of snow by early Sunday. So yeah, that's about where we're at, and we've got some 2 foot drifts between yesterday and last night, and it's still coming down pretty solid here at the Radio Ranch. But you know, that's what they call springtime in the Rockies. And
well, I prayed for you guys and all the remnant out there that the snow would be nice and you'd get a lot of it, but it would be nice and light.
Well,
because I plowed snow.
Sure.
And you know, the fluffy stuff is kind of it's easy to move around and it disappears quick.
Sure.
But that heavy stuff, especially at night when it gets below freezing, it's 10 times harder to move if you don't get it all out. So
yeah, there's times, Joe, you can I'm from down south. I'm originally a Florida boy. I mean, we've been out here 15 years, so it's been a little change for us, but we've gotten used to it, and we love the snow now. I've noticed in plowing and whatnot, we've got a snow plow and a plow on the truck, and is that there's times that you can be pushing this snow out of the way, and you'll look off to the side when the snow is blowing, and the snow is blue because it is so heavy, and there is so much water in it. I mean, it's beautiful. And that's where, you know, out here in this high mountain desert, that's where we get our moisture.
Absolutely.
And so this, you know, Tim there in Nebraska, you've got, what, 4 to 5 inches of rain forecast for this weekend?
Yep, rained all night. It's raining now, lightning, and they had a forecast for ping pong ball or golf ball size hail last night, and you know, we prayed and thanked the Lord we didn't get any. So that was just a godsend to us, because we got fruit trees in bloom and wheat fields growing, and that kind of hail really any time of the year, I guess, it's destructive, but. You know, we're glad to see the rain because we've been kind of dry. But it kind of seems like it hits you guys out there and bounces over us.
Sometimes. But that's sure where our moisture comes from, are the springtime snow showers. We've got good snowpack in the mountains, and that's where the important moisture comes from. Praise the Lord.
Yep. Well, I wanted to make a comment here. I was listening to, in the early morning hours a couple of nights ago, couple of early morning radio stations I like to flip on, and it seems that the National Weather Service is bowing to some political correct pressure. I don't know if you guys heard of it, but they're not going to use capital letters anymore in their forecasts. And the reason why I say that that is, like, this to me, this is the ultimate in political caving in. National Weather Service is saying that their capital letters is offensive, I guess, to some people, and they don't. There's a thing I've noticed going back 5 years or something, people mentioning the virtual shouting on the internet. you make a comment, right, and you put in capital letters and it offends people.
Huh. How about that?
Yeah. It's incredible, right? This is national news. I've looked at it on the internet, and it's all over. It stems from the fact that in days gone by, when you had these huge big machines, they're all mechanical, of course. They send weather forecasts by teletype,
right?
And the lettering that's in these mechanical machines are all capital letters, and it just was made that way. It's nothing they can do about it. Back then, nobody cared. I mean, this to me, it's something that is, weather is important. And
sure,
who cares whether it's? I mean, it's, for me, I wear eyeglasses, and it's better. It's easier to read when it's a capital letter. Frankly, you know. And also, when you're typing, especially now, if you put the cap lock on there, you don't have to use the shift key to make a capital letter at the beginning of a sentence. So I'd say that capitals are great. It's good. It doesn't offend me at all.
Well, Joe, yeah, thanks for that. We've sure been seeing the weather alerts and that type of stuff out here. But just haven't really noticed a change from all caps to others, because it seems like that you're right. It comes from those old
trouble before
those old teletypes. Yeah.
Yep. And another thing with NOAA and stuff, they I don't know, you guys are out there in the West, dude. You got weather. Pretty big weather coming, and it comes all at once, and then it's hard. I know. The Weather Service, for years and years on their radio, their weather radio forecast, that's now it's a loop. It's a computer-generated voice. But years ago, I mean, we're talking 15, 20 years ago, I remember a human, used to get on there and just announce. And they would take shifts. You could tell the difference in the voice. But now they have men and women. There's a man voice, computer-generated man, and there's a computer-generated woman getting in the deal, too. So I guess computer-generated females are on the rise. You know, you have to have the diversity there.
Yeah.
I'm just ranting.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
Well, have a good day, guys.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Take care.
307-745-5913. If you want to give a call in, we've got a few minutes left here on the program. Go ahead, John.
When the National Weather Service is telling you chance of snow 1 to 3 feet,
yeah.
They don't know what the heck.
Yeah. Yeah. Just don't. They don't. You know, it's... It is a cold, damp, wet snow. That's how it is. It's springtime, a lot of moisture in the air, and we'll just when it's on the ground, then you can measure it and see how much you got. Until then, it's anybody's guess.
Amen.
It is anybody's guess.
Well, and ready to go. Go ahead. Yeah. Well, it just goes back to that like, and I think John already mentioned it, but you know, it takes back to like Luke 21:11, powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome signs and mighty signs will come from the sky. And read an article here just the other day on one of my news feeds that came across, and they were talking about EMPs, and they said, a solar flare EMP could be 100 times worse than anything man could generate. So
yeah.
I looked at that and said, well, Lord, you know, I know they would never say, well, God has way more power than we do. We can copy, but we can't do it. But, you know, that was basically a confirmation of the fact that our God reigns, you know, and he can, whatever they think they've got, he can be not only 100 times worse, but 100 times better. You know, so.
Yeah, they make their plans and they scheme, and the Lord sits in the heavens and he laughs.
Amen, brother. Amen. So.
Yeah, I was reading in Daniel this week. I was, it's kind of fun to show that to people who don't really understand much about the end times, but chapter 12 starts out with, now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise, and there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Well, we all know what that book is. That's the Lamb's Book of Life. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, those to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. So, you know, when you tell people that this book is the living word, this is the word of God, either you believe it or you don't, but there's things that are in this book that will not be revealed until the proper time, and will only be revealed to certain people,
yes,
the remnant, those,
yes,
that will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus. And fortunately for us, we've had the opportunity to sit under a pastor who, you know, if anybody was ridiculed and persecuted, and just like the Word of God says, a prophet has no honor in his hometown. And what was interesting, I found after he was called home, was the fact of how many local people, when they saw you at the stores and things like that, would give you condolences for his passing, but they wouldn't step foot in the church, even though they lived right there.
Yep.
They believed what he said. They understood what he said. They understood who they were. But because of perception of the world,
yep,
maybe it was their job, maybe it was their friends, maybe it was their family, they wouldn't step foot in that church or show any recognition that they understood what he was preaching. But there was a whole underground of local people there who admired him and probably prayed for him. And I can remember one time the church was graffitied pretty bad, and Dad was a little bit disheartened, and you know what? He came down, I think, a day or so later, and the neighbors had come out and painted the church. Didn't ask for any money, didn't ask for any recognition, but they painted the church.
Yeah, painted over the filthy graffiti that had been put on it.
Yep.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Well,
you know, I think we've degraded even more from that point, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think so. Well, let's got a caller. Let's try on the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, man. It's Willis. Hope everybody's doing well this morning.
Morning.
Almost hate to tell you guys, but we're forecasted for being in the mid to upper 70s for the entire week. And no snow. So, hey, listen, I was enjoying the show here this morning. I thought I'd just give a call in. You know, reading in the scriptures this year and last year. Really enjoy the fact that you guys brought out those reading plans, because it really encourages to get into that word more. And you know, as I was reading, I was thinking about redemption and salvation, and reading in that story of Ruth with Boaz, and you know, how it was a tradition then for that kinsman redeemer to,
yes,
remove his shoe.
Yes.
And I got to thinking about, you know, when Moses went up on Mount Sinai,
yep,
and spoke with God, he was truly on holy ground. But you know, scripture a lot of times I have more than one meaning, and I have to think, well, you know, when he walked up there, God told him to take off his shoe.
Yep.
And I happen to think, boy, that's in a way he was at that time becoming a redeemer for Israel in bondage through God. God was going to work through him, and he was going to help redeem those people out of that hand of Pharaoh.
Amen.
And I got to thinking also about in the New Testament where John the Baptist mentioned the fact that he wasn't worthy to take and remove the shoe latchet from Christ. And I got to thinking, I said, boy, you know, when that marriage supper of the Lamb occurs, it would surprise me if our Redeemer shows up and pulls off that shoe and redeems his people for the last time.
Yeah. Yep.
And I got to thinking, I said, well, I think I'm going to call that the Barefoot Jesus.
The Barefoot Jesus. Yeah, because he's redeemed his people.
Absolutely.
Redeemed in every way possible. In every way possible. And you know, one... another thing that jumped out at me from the book of Ruth, having just read it as well, Willis, was when it talks about that redemption. You know, you read through there, Boaz goes he wants to redeem Ruth and the land and stuff that his, you know, relatives, because the men have died. And so he wants to redeem it, but he understands there's somebody else first. And so when it talks about the closest relative, you know, Boaz goes to there's one relative closer. And that word, closest relative, if you have a reference Bible, it references out, and it literally means redeemer. Now, not a
redeemer.
Not a capital R, not Christ, but a redeemer. It was the closest relative that was to, it was their responsibility to redeem. And who is it that we have? The Bible says we have one that will stick closer to us than a brother. We have,
absolutely,
we have that closest relative, that redeemer in Jesus Christ. And he is, as Christ said, you know, when they came to him and said, Lord, your mother and your brother are out here. They want to see you. And the crowds were all around him. And he puts his hands out and he says, who is my mother and my brother? But those who do the will of the Father, something along those lines. And see, we have that Redeemer. And here in Ruth, it points to Christ. But you don't know it if you don't read it. You don't get that gem. You don't get that understanding like you called in with today, Willis, if you don't read the Word.
Absolutely. I was just amazed at how that, you know, the Scriptures from beginning to end is all about that salvation process and that redemption.
It is.
And the ultimate redemption when Christ takes Israel back again in that marriage supper.
Amen.
And I just felt that was worth calling in and taking a minute to do this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Willis.
All right, well, listen, fellas, I'm on the road to Midland, and I thought I'd pull over and make a quick call, enjoying the show. And you guys have a blessed weekend, and everybody be safe out there in this weather.
You too. God bless. Thanks, safe travel.
God bless to you. Take care, Will.
Goodbye.
You know,
I want to remind people about answering the call to fast.
Yes.
In preparation for this phone assembly, as well as invite them to church when I run out of time. So.
Absolutely. And again, we are requesting that you do pray and fast for this year's Branson Solemn Assembly. And we're calling for the remnant to come in agreement and to do that very thing, to pray, to fast. Maybe it's for a meal.
We have several people that are fasting through, you know, the same meal a day, breakfast or lunch or dinner or something like that, and in prayer as well. And we do ask you to contact us and let us know if you're going to do that so we can mark it on the calendar, because we are doing our best to make sure that we have, every day, we have several people praying and fasting. So we know the days. It's a collective type of thing, a community of Christ type of prayer and fasting.
As part
of the body, part of the remnant between. And so we do encourage you to do that. It doesn't have to be all day, but at least a meal. But we do have several that are fasting, and you know, we've done it as well, and it's there are health benefits to it, in addition to drawing closer to God and to doing without what you want and what you're used to. When you do without for a little bit, it should help remind you that it's God that gives these things. It's God that gives us a full belly. It's God that gives us, you know, the right blood sugar all day long because we're eating all day and those type things. And it helps remind us that we are wonderfully made in His image. And we need that daily bread, physically but also spiritually. And so there is power in praying and fasting, spiritual and physical. And so we ask you to do that. I'm looking at the April calendar. We are set. For this next week, the Saturdays, we still have some Saturdays open, so I'll put that out as a challenge. Let us know. We want to fill the calendar up, and we need some people to pray and fast on Saturdays between now and June. And so if you're called to do that, we ask you to call us and let us know, and we'll have you on the calendar. And if we don't have anybody, we'll sure cover it. We're covered today. Next Saturday, I've got one person on the calendar, so we want to get some more people in starting next Saturday. And then we do want to invite you to come to church tomorrow at scriptures4america.org. You can click on the live video stream, and we'll have a church service there at the website starting at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast.
Of course, there's a strong possibility if this storm hits like they say it is that it may not be a live broadcast, but there will be a link to a Timeless Truth archive. We still encourage you to open up your Bible to 1 Corinthians or Luke or any one of the areas that talk about communion and continue to partake of communion with your family, those that are over the age of 20.
Yes,
and have been baptized for the remission of sins.
So we will have some. There will be some spiritual food there at the website. There is every day, and especially on Sunday. So it will be there. Well, we thank you for joining us, and we do know that all of us here, we do pray for the remnant out there. We thank you for your support. If you want to write to us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado. 80535. Thanks, men. Stay warm.
Thank you. Thank you, brother.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Stay high. This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them.
Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
snake hide.
Moving, moving, though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake hide.